T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Now we have a supremely good guest, former state senator Len Suzio, now running for that same seat once again, joins us again here on WTIC. Hey, Len.
Hey, Todd. I'm happy that we're past the electricity crisis. What's next?
Well, the immediate crisis is over, with everybody purportedly having their power back, but that doesn't mean that trouble is still not simmering with regard to how this whole thing runs. And that's why we wanted to have you here, so we could talk a little bit. Because there are these, for me, what this comes down to is what exactly is the nature of the way energy is done in the state and in the country. There are companies in every state, and it seems like those companies farm out their workers when there's an emergency somewhere else and they have nothing to do. But it's all very opaque. We don't know how this works. We don't know. Did Ned somehow release workers to go to South Carolina, as some people say? Did some workers get rented out by Eversource? This is one of the accusations, Len. Did some workers get rented out to other states at a premium, and then they brought in other workers that they could hire more cheaply up here, like the ones from Ontario who came? You know, there's all these questions about how it operates, and this is the problem with having a big publicly held corporation and a big government that oversees it. Nobody tells anybody the truth about what's going on.
Yeah, it's a big behemoth of a utility. We used to have a Connecticut Light and Power, Northeast Utilities. They were a Connecticut company, but they got assimilated by NSTAR back about 8 years or so ago, and now they've become part of this mammoth organization that covers many states. And
by the way, Len, did these mergers that have taken place through the years, did they have to be approved by the state government?
Oh, yes, they did. And some of the higher-ups at some of these utility companies made very generous political contributions to the Malloy campaign at the time.
Yes, I've seen those contributions. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, it was big money. It was big money, enough to get attention, that's for sure. And lo and behold, Malloy becomes governor, and voila, the merger is approved. It's run through, and now we have Eversource, which I know people who worked in the old Northeast Utilities, and they say things changed very big in terms of the corporate culture when the NSTAR deal was done back.
I think it's important to understand, just in terms of this dynamic, Democrats are always claiming that they love us and they want to protect us. And that's why they do things like say we need regulation of an industry like utilities. Mm-hmm. We need the protection of the government. That's what they mean by regulation. They mean they, because they love us so much, will stand there and protect us and supervise what happens. But one of the things we learn about regulation when we look into it is it's not so much the company that's being regulated by the government, but maybe the elected officials who are being regulated by those campaign donations that you refer to.
There's no doubt that things like that have influenced the legislature itself, which passes the laws which govern utilities, which are then enforced by the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority, PURA, so to speak. And the crazy thing is, it's a no-lose situation for the utilities, because no matter what you do, you're going to make money. Back when we got hit with those the hurricanes back in 2011 and 12, and there was a lot of power outages back then, there were hearings at PURA, just like there's going to be hearings in another week about the debacle, the recent debacle, and they they inquired about, well, what happened and why was power off for so long, and PURA approved a rate increase of 13.5% at the time to pay for the utility cleanup costs and add profit into it as well. So the utilities not only recoup their costs, but they're allowed to capture a profit at the same time. They approved, just back in December of 2014, they approved an increase in the rates that amounted to about $7.12 per household in Connecticut. And there was roughly 1.2 million households taking electricity at that point in time. So
per month, you're talking about, I assume, right?
I'm sorry, say again, Todd?
Per month, that $7?
Yes, right. Yeah, per month, yeah. So that's over $100 million a year, basically. And implicit in it was a rate of return of 9.17%. So they not only got their cost
so
back.
Hang on a sec, Len. So the thing with this regulation is it includes how much the cost of goods sold is going to be for the utility company and what their profit is. Let's talk a little about that when we continue with Len Susio. So how about that, Len Susio? What do you say to that?
Again, you just flicked there. How about what?
What do you say to this idea that a regulated company, which we are taught by the compassionate, loving Democrats, when they're regulating, that means they're turning the screws on the big companies like Eversource. But then you have a crisis like this, and what you find out is that really there's nothing going on. They don't know how to regulate. They get briefed. That's what regulation is. They get briefed. And part of the briefing is somehow they intimidate Democrats, like they scare them. They tell them the nuclear power plant is going to be shut down. So they get the Democrats to guarantee them a rate of return, a profit margin in order to keep Millstone going. So it turns out that it's the Democrats who are being regulated by the utility instead of the other way around.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about the Millstone deal is if you read the decision, the Public Utility Regulatory Authority decision, they acknowledge that by locking in Millstone to a long-term contract at a fixed rate, it reduced the business risk for Millstone, but they still gave them a 15% rate of return on their investment, and that's higher than they allowed even Eversource and United Illuminating. In the decision, they say, oh, the norm for the Connecticut utilities is 9 to 12%, but we're going to go 12 to 15% on this. At the same time, they're reducing the risk. So it just somebody got paid something. All I can say is something ain't right. When your risk goes down and your return goes up, usually risk and return are correlated in some way. Not in opposite directions, but the same direction.
In other words, you're incentivized to take a risk in business because there are profits to be made. And that requires a normal company has to go out there and hustle to turn that risk-reward possibility into a reward. And in a regulated scheme, all they have to do is make campaign donations to the Democrats, and in return they get fixed profit margins.
That's right. And, you know, one of the weird things about that legislation, SB 9, back in 2018, that legislated and mandated all this stuff, was they mandated that the cost of the nuclear energy from Millstone not be put into the generation part of your bill, but into the delivery side of your bill. And it's got nothing to do with delivery. But by doing that, it distorts the correlation between the generation costs on your bill and the delivery cost in your bill, exaggerating the delivery cost and minimizing the generation cost. That's what
in other words, they distort the categories they've made that are there to create clarity regarding what you're paying. They mess with what is actually going inside of those categories, so the numbers aren't real. Have we ever seen government do something like that before in Connecticut? Oh, I just thought of one. How about the special transportation fund?
Oh, yeah. They hit that for over $3 billion. And then the governor claims that there was a general fund giving money to the special transportation fund, when the reality is they intercepted $3.3 billion of gas taxes and didn't let them go into the special transportation fund. They put them directly into the general fund, and then they took some of that money out and put it into the transportation fund and said, oh, look it, we just took money out of the general fund to help the special transportation fund. Well, the reason they did that is because they intercepted the money before it could get to the special transportation fund.
Mm-hmm.
It's a card game, you know, five-card Monty, basically. It's always working against the consumers of this thing. And that's what distresses me. PURA is supposed to exist, the Public Utility Regulatory Authority, to protect consumers and, you know, assure the orderly operation of the utilities and that they make some money on this thing. But to guarantee that you're going to make money no matter what, which is basically, you know, in any given year, because of energy demands, a utility might make or lose a little more money, but in the long run, they are money-making machines, basically, and they have big money. So that means they spent a gob of money lobbying the legislature on this bill, and it doesn't surprise me. But again, I want to just make certain that your audience remembers, when this was debated on the floor of the Senate, I asked the sponsor of the bill, how much is this going to cost Connecticut consumers? He did not know the answer, and he didn't care about the answer. And by the way, nobody else apparently cared about it, because nobody bothered to follow up and ask that question. To me, that was a height of political irresponsibility. To vote on a bill that is going to have a major impact on Connecticut consumers and the cost of electricity, and no one even knows what the cost increase is going to be, there's something wrong here. And people ought to be held accountable, not just the utilities themselves, but the politicians who are behind
The politicians. We're talking to former State Senator Len Susio, who is seeking that position once again. And it's quite disturbing, but highly credible, what you lay out for us. And it begs the question, when you get elected to an office like this, Len, I assume when you first went into the Senate that you didn't know that it was as corrupt and irresponsible and hateful an organization as it seems to be.
Oh, I certainly didn't know about all the goings on behind the scenes. You know, you hear rumors about stuff like that, but when you get in the middle of it and you see what goes on, it really is it's really disconcerting. May I point out, by the way, Todd, my daughter lives in Wallingford, and so she gets her electricity from Wallingford Electric. I get mine from, of course. For the month of July, she consumed almost identical kilowatt hours. She had 1,018. I had 1,024. So you say, oh, your bills have got to be comparable. Her bill was $125. Mine was $238 for the same electricity. I mean, it's like, what's going on here? Well, you know, one thing is Wallingford Electric Division is not buying renewable energy. They don't waste any money on that at all. So they get the lowest cost energy of all, whereas the utilities are forced.
So hold on a sec. Is Wallingford generating electricity, or they just buy it in the open market?
They buy it in the open market. They used to generate it many years ago, but it's been decades now since they've actually operated.
Wait a second. So all you have to do, any municipality could just set up its own electric company and go out and buy in the open market and not pay these ridiculous premiums that the legislature forces Eversource into?
Well, it's not so easy to start up your own municipal public utility. I wish it were, because I'd be advocating for Meriden and some others. But don't forget, you got to buy the infrastructure that exists already, the power lines and all that stuff, if you're going to get into the business. Wallingford Electric did it. Its history is interesting. It happened because somebody got angry about the cost of gaslighting at the time. So they said, we're going to start up our own electric company in Wallingford. Yeah, that's a funny story. You ought to hear about it someday. But the point just is that, you and I go out and buy a car. Well, I might get an expensive car. You might get a cheap car. You might, you know, get the luxury version. I might. But electricity is electricity. There's no, like, a premium electricity versus cheap electricity. So why is there such a humongous difference between two utilities that deliver power in communities right next door to one another? The only thing I could find out, the only big cost difference, is that the Wallingford utility doesn't pay property taxes, whereas Eversource does. And that's a significant cost. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But in the context of explaining away The difference in my utility bill versus my
Still, your daughter's bill is what more in line with what people in most other states pay. I was looking at a chart of the nation, the rates across the nation, and Connecticut is way up at the top.
That's right. Connecticut my utility bill was about 24 cents a kilowatt hour. The average for the country, according to the United States Energy Information Administration, is 13.1 cents. So that's almost.
Yeah. Like, all right. We've got to wrap up, Len, because we're out of time. But Len Susio, thank you, sir, for filling us in. We'll talk to you again soon.
My pleasure always, Todd. Take care.
All righty. Len Susio, candidate for state senate, former state senator, smart guy on this stuff. When you get the news from somebody who knows how it works, it's not happy stuff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.